Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. The Spread, Nesson.com's Football Picks Podcast. We're back for week two. I'm Nesson.com's Mike Cole, joined by my compadres, Andre Kachaturian and Ricky Doyle. Gentlemen, how are we?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you? I was going to call you Ricky. I don't know why.
That's all right. After week one, I guess that would probably be preferable. But football's back. What did you guys think? I mean, I was kind of on the run all day Sunday, or kind of in and out, so I didn't get to see a ton of – I did not get to plant my ass in front of the TV and just watch 10 hours of football. So what were your guys' big takeaways? You know, did you enjoy the fanless experience? Was it weird? Just early week one takeaways.
I didn't notice the difference.
I saw people complaining. I didn't either.
I thought it was fine. I think fine is my word to describe right. The weekend, both from a quality of game standpoint and just like the broadcast production standpoint. Like it was all fine.
Yeah, I thought from the four major sports, it was the most normal because it's during a normal time period of football, and you know the rules aren't as mixed up like in baseball. It's the sport just looks different with the 60 game schedule. And for hockey and basketball, you're getting these playoffs in the fall. It's out of the ordinary. But football seemed the most normal for me.
I'm glad that the officials didn't insert themselves too much. I thought I thought it was going to be a sloppy out of the gate.
That Cowboys Rams game, they pretty much decided the finish.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's a good call. But I mean, from a wire to wire standpoint, it wasn't like an egregious amount of flags. I mean, there was some. I think it was clearly there was some rust for some of the teams offensively, but I don't know. I mean, with no preseason, just kind of being thrown into this thing, I didn't think the quality was all that bad.
No, like, yeah, I agree.
It was pretty much on par with what we've seen for the past few years.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it didn't feel like I think a lot of people, myself somewhat included, kind of expected it to be, you know, you'd have delay of games or, you know, 14 guys on the field for a punt because you can't get the special teams formation right. Yeah, it didn't seem like there was a ton of that. So I guess that's encouraging. Yeah, I'm with you. From what I saw of it, it seemed fairly normal. The crowd noise pumped in was fine. It, you know, I think you will miss it. This is kind of like golf too, because like when you watch it on TV, there are certain things like the camera shots are so tight, you know, both in golf and football, where it's like when you have the camera right on the field. In football, you don't see anything else, so it's not like it matters. But I think you are going to notice it when, you know, you get a 90-yard touchdown at some point at Arrowhead or something like that, and it's, you know, 3,000 people. Like, that's, I think, where you kind of notice it. But those are kind of few and far between. So the way I look at it is, like, does this just feel normal for 90% of my viewing experience? And I think so far, yeah. So that's a good
thing. Fairly normal, I will take that at this point.
Yeah, right.
With regards to a lot of things.
Yeah. You know what else was normal was Ricky's domination in picks.
Hey, you said it. I didn't.
You won last year. You had the best record. This week one, 9-6-1 against the spread, Ricky. That's very impressive. I was second with 6-9-1, and Mike right behind me, 5-10-1. So that's pretty much on par to every season.
That's not true. I won like 2 years ago, so don't even start with me. Like I said before, I used some choice words before we came on here. I won't repeat myself. It feels, you know, you want to talk about normalcy. Getting porked by just terrible plays late in the game it feels good to be back. You know, I'll get into some of those maybe as we go on and we talk about some teams here. But, yeah, good job.
I really laid an egg on the Sunday night and Monday night as well, so. That didn't help my cause.
Sunday night game got me in that Lions-Bears, that drop pass by DeAndre Swift. It still hurts.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other stuff that completely porked me. And, you know, it is what it is. It's on me.
Hey.
I feel like an idiot. I don't feel good.
We've got 16 more of these weeks.
So. That's true.
That Vegas-Carolina game, that was
– Oh, that's – yeah, that was the other one. So, Vegas covered, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, I was on Carolina, and I felt good about that one. So well,
Carolina scored late, and then Vegas came back and scored right again.
That's tough. Yeah, because I saw that score late, and I was like, "Oh, wow, could I actually cover that?" But not to be. So, all right, let's get into week two here, as usual. Oh, by the way, I want to get this out of the way. If you're watching on YouTube, stop what you're doing, pick up your phone, go to your favorite podcast provider and subscribe to our podcast. We're on iTunes and Spotify, Nessun the Spread. Rate, review, make it seem like you enjoy our work. That is all we're really looking for at this point. continue to watch on YouTube as well, but we can be found on those places as well. Then you can take us in the car with you. You can take us for a walk. You can take us in the shower.
Be better than that.
So inclined. The
shower. Wow.
Yeah.
The beach.
You can take us to the beach. There's still beach weather, yeah. I guess.
In parts of the country.
Yeah. So like I said, especially if you're watching on YouTube and you're a big podcast guy or gal, hop on over to iTunes, Spotify, subscribe, rate, review, and enjoy us at your will throughout the rest of the season. So, all right, let's get into it. We'll do what we consider the best games of the weekend. I would say the slate's not as good, but whatever. And then we'll do locks and upsets. So let's start Sunday afternoon with a game that seems like, black and blue bowl, whatever you want to call it. It feels like a nice mid-90s matchup, but we've got the Denver Broncos going to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Both teams coming off of Monday night games. The Steelers beat the Giants in fairly convincing fashion. That's another one, by the way. Daniel Jones, don't throw an interception at the
end zone. Bad. Yeah.
Maybe we cover that spread too. But the Steelers host the Broncos. Broncos coming off of a tough loss on Monday night to the Titans. Steelers 6.5-point favorites. Total sits at 41. It's going to be warm in Pittsburgh this weekend. Mid-80s, humid, a little Indian summer for the folks of Western Pennsylvania. Let's see, Ricky, who do you got in this one?
This is a good, nice mid-90s clash. I'm picturing a lot of high shoulder pads.
Yeah.
A lot of devastating hits to the head. Flag now. We just saw Pittsburgh's defense completely overmatch a sophomore quarterback on the road, and I really have no reason to believe that they're not going to do the same to another sophomore quarterback at home. That Denver offense, I didn't really like much of what I saw from them at all on Monday night, even though that game was played at about 3 a.m, it felt like, and I was just so exhausted from football at that point. I could just see Pittsburgh, their team coming into the season, obviously like what they do defensively. I thought Roethlisberger was a little rusty early on, but showed in that second half what he's capable of doing for that offense. And like I said, with Denver's offense, I just wonder if coaching is going to hold them back a little bit. Obviously, Vic Fangio being the defensive-minded coach that he is, bringing Pat Shurmur, it didn't seem like they were clicking a whole lot. I think a lot of it is due to the fact that, this Denver offense might be on the right track, but I think we're expecting a lot overnight from them. I mean, they got a very, very young core. I think it's going to take a while for them to get on the same page. And in a week two matchup against that Pittsburgh defense, it's a decent chunk of points, but I'll lay the points and I'll take the Steelers.
I completely agree with you, Ricky. Everything you just said made sense. And Roethlisberger coming from that injury, I thought he would be a lot more shaky than he was on Monday night. Three touchdowns.
He was early, but
he really bounced back quick. Yep. And, three touchdowns, no picks, 66% completion percentage. And
very good.
You just see how different that team is when Roethlisberger is their quarterback instead of Duck Hodges. And that team last year, they were the third best defense in terms of yards allowed per play. That defense looked unbelievable, holding Saquon Barkley to just 6 yards on 15 carries. That's very difficult to do. They allowed just a yard and a half per carry on Monday night. And also for Denver, Vic Fangio, what was that late in the game in the fourth quarter? The Broncos got the ball back up by one with 7:24 left. They only took off 1:20. The Titans go 3 and out. Broncos get the ball back again with 4:06, and they only take off 53 seconds off the clock because they passed twice on that drive. They took off no time. Titans have a long drive. They come back, get into field goal range, and during that time, Fangio's not using his timeouts. What was that? That was horrible 7:24 of coaching and time clock management by Vic Fangio. You can't do that against the Steelers, against a great team like that. I'm taking the Steelers.
Fangio feels like classic example of great coordinator, just not a very good head coach. I mean, it's
– And it's so, like – it's so backwards from what they're seemingly trying to build.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they brought in, they spent so much draft capital on these offensive weapons, and yet they have him as the head coach. Like, it just, it's all sort of feels out of whack. It also feels a little premature, too, to, I mean, what was it? What did Locke make? 5 starts last year? And all of a sudden, they're just sort of, you know, anointing this as being his franchise. I mean, maybe he evolves into a decent quarterback, but a lot of what they did last year was, you know, plays behind the line of scrimmage, little screen plays, and now all of a sudden they're just going to take the top off the defense. Like, it's just, it's a little weird, but sorry, go ahead.
And then you look at Pat Shurmur, too. Like, he had really good, you know, couple of years in Philly, but other than that, he hasn't done a whole lot, you know. Right. So it's not like they have an offensive genius leading the offense either. It's just a weird coaching staff. I'm with you guys. I'll take the Steelers here. It feels like a lot of points to lay, but this week I'm kind of just saying screw it, because I still don't know if we like what, how I don't know how good of a grasp anybody has on the Lions. So I'll just take the team I like to win here, and just hope that they can cover that number. Not a great way of going about business. Not very scientific.
But it's not an egregious amount of points, though. Like, it's a good chunk, but it's like they win by a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what I have to add here. Not a ton. You know, the run defense thing that Andre mentioned is huge. And now you've got Denver coming in. You know, Gordon didn't look great in his debut. Phillip Lindsay has some sort of turf toe type injury is what Fangio called it. So that's going to be an issue. Who knows if they get Cortland Sutton back. So you're going up. It's just a ton of injuries for the Broncos as well. And on the defensive side, A.J. Bouye, who's actually done a pretty nice job against Pittsburgh in the past. So you go back to that playoff game when he was in Jacksonville, had a nice game. He looks like he dislocated his shoulder, so he's probably almost certainly not going to play. And that's huge going up against a team. Again, Pittsburgh, they continue to do it with the receivers. It's insane.
Unbelievable.
You know,
Chase Claypool was.
Yeah.
And
I do like the addition of Eric Ebron, I think, is going to kind of go under the radar. Like, Ben's been at his best when he's had pretty dependable tight ends. Ebron made a great catch last night. It was like a stretch route over the, going left to right. It was earlier in that game. And it's just, it gives them another element there. So, Fangio is going to have something ready for them. But I do think there's just too much talent on Pittsburgh's side. And I think the Broncos injuries continue to be an issue. So, without Von Miller, maybe not Mark Barron as well, I think Pittsburgh's going to be able to do a lot of what it wants to on offense. So, if that's the case, Ricky, I'm with you. I don't know if that Denver offense is at a point where they can kind of keep pace in a higher scoring game. So, I'll lay the points. I don't feel great about it, but I'll do it. It is what it is. So.
Nothing the Broncos did improved my outlook on them on Monday night.
I agree. And, they had no business. Again, if, Gostkowski makes his kicks, that game's a lot different. It looks a lot worse for them. So,
there's a fun little stat for you. According to NFL and Next Gen Stats, there was a 1 in 1,804 chance of Gostkowski missing all 4 of those kicks. that's 10 points they left out there.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, all right. Also, Sunday afternoon, a game that on paper entering the season looked great. Baltimore going to Houston to take on the Texans. The Ravens coming off just a thoroughly impressive – well, I don't know how impressive it was. Maybe Cleveland isn't as good as I maybe think they were. I'm 1 year late on the Cleveland is good trap, so that's on me. But they, thoroughly dismantled the Browns in Week 1, and now they go to play a Texans team that is coming off of an ass-kicking of their own on the other side of things, where they got kind of smoked by Kansas City in that Thursday night game. Ravens on the road here 2 weeks in a row, tough spot. Still laying 6.5 points. Andre, who do you got?
I'm going to take Baltimore until they give me a reason not to take Baltimore. They're just a machine. Just generating points. And Lamar Jackson, last 8 regular season games, 27 touchdowns, 1 interception. That's speaks for itself. The two teams met last year. Ravens won 41-7. I don't expect anything different this year. Houston last season allowed the 7th most rushing yards to quarterbacks last year. So that's not really good. Lamar Jackson is going to have a day. And Deshaun Watson, last 7 games, including the playoffs, 7 touchdowns, 6 picks. Not looking great lately. Something's been off with him, clearly. And in terms of the Texans' offensive line, they're still giving Watson some troubles, because the Texans' offensive line has last week gave up sack on 8.4% of dropbacks in week one. So that Baltimore defense, don't sleep on them. They had three turnovers last week, and they're coming into week two with the best yards per play differential. That means they didn't allow a lot of yards either last week, along with gaining a lot of yards. So take Baltimore.
With these two teams, it just feels like what changed? You know, like, what did anything really change from last season with either of these teams?
That's if
what
anything, it felt like. If anything, Houston got worse and Baltimore got better.
Exactly. And it, that whole operation in Houston just feels kind of stale at this point. And I don't know, like, you mentioned the numbers with Deshaun Watson and how he's just looked out of sync. I'm not even pinning a lot of it on him. Like, that offense just looks like, I don't know if it's just an unwillingness to sort of to air it out. Like, it just feels very, for the talent that they have, it doesn't seem as aggressive as it should be. But
doesn't really have that many weapons anymore after Hopkins is gone.
I mean, you got some guy. You got, you know, Will Fuller and Kenny Will Stills, Fuller, like guys, I mean, that really? Theoretically should be burners. Like, they're not trustworthy, but like, I would like to take a look, you know, more shots down the field than they are taking. So it just, I don't know. The whole thing, it seems like it's in need of a change, and it probably starts at the coaching position. But I'm with you. Until I have a reason to not pick the Ravens, I should probably just roll with them at this point. We already, you know, this is really, I don't think any home field advantage in this matchup. I mean, especially if you look back to last year, what the Ravens did on the road. I mean, 59-10 over the Dolphins, 49-13 over the Bengals, 45-6 over the Rams. So this is a team that's capable of going on the road, putting up huge numbers. I mentioned this last week in our picks column, but the Texans defense, just if you look at their drive stats, just absolutely horrendous last year. 31st in yards allowed per drive. Only five teams with a combined 25-54-1 record allowed more points per drive. Meanwhile, the Baltimore offense, obviously just at the top in nearly every single offensive statistical category. So it is. It's one of these things where I don't know. Like, I tried to almost find a reason to take the Texans just on the off chance that something wacky happens, but everything points to Baltimore in this game. And so, you know, if I lose by backing the team that looks like one of the best in the NFL, so be it.
Yeah, like, the fluky thing is Deshaun Watson just turns into Superman for a week. And, you know, that's
it, right? You know,
like, yeah, it's possible. It's conceivable. But this is one of those ones, too, where it's like, in a normal year with crowds and everything, maybe I look at Baltimore and say, starting, you know, 2 weeks in a row, or no, they didn't start the road. I'm just going to say they were at home last week, right?
Yeah.
Sorry. So I misspoke on that earlier. So even then, going out on the road for the first time, Harbaugh's so good at having his team ready to play. I don't think they get too high coming off of a division win last week. I'm also taking the Ravens here. Again, it's another one too. Maybe, and I guess the number probably changes in a regular year, but 6.5 on the road this year certainly feels a lot different than years past. That probably goes without saying. But you look at, you know, I'm just kind of going through my notes. Cleveland last week did a pretty decent job. You know, they took away the run game, relatively speaking. That was technically, I think Baltimore ran for 100 plus yards, but it's the lowest rushing total that the Ravens have had in Lamar Jackson's 23 career starts. I think I saw that on NFL.com. They still scored 38 points. That's insanity. I think third down is going to be a big issue for Houston as well. They were just 4 of 10 last week. Meanwhile, the Ravens held the Browns to 3 of 12. I think that's one place where you really feel the loss of DeAndre Hopkins. Brandon Cooks already hurt hamstring. He's kind of up in the air. Duke Johnson also hurt, so that's another element of their offense that could be gone. Again, you go back to that game last year, 6 sacks for the Ravens defense. Andre, you kind of touched on this as well. Here's another way to put it. Deshaun Watson pressured on 45.5% of his dropbacks last week, according to Pro Football Focus. That's a huge number. I mean, that's basically every other dropback he's got pressure. And when you have nobody else to throw to, bad things are going to happen. I think that kind of explains why his numbers haven't been as good lately. And even that's with, DeAndre Hopkins, and now he doesn't have that. Just no safety valve there. I don't know. And the secondary, a mess for Houston as well. I need to be talked out of this game not being a blowout. The more you look at it, it's like, I don't know.
To follow up on the amount of pressure that Houston faced last week as well, Baltimore blitzed more than any team in the NFL by a pretty wide margin. So this could be a situation where Watson is running around and having to sort of improvise a little bit. And if that's the case, I don't know. I don't like the idea of just banking on that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's kind of like a coin flip. Maybe he just goes nuts because he's running around, but
right.
Do you really want to bank on that? I don't think so.
He's been sacked 20 times in the last 4 games. Wild.
That's just standard, like, though. Like, that's the accepted normal for the Texans right now.
Well, and the thing is anything that the Chiefs did this past week, like, are the Ravens incapable of doing any of that?
No.
You know, like, it just feels like a very similar matchup. And,
yeah.
I mean, the Chiefs didn't have a 3-and-out until, like, late in the fourth quarter.
That's the thing. But, like, the Chiefs didn't look overly dominant. It was just a methodical head kicking. Like,
you might get that this week.
Yeah. Yep. And they're more than capable of completely turning it into a smoke show, too. It could be 40-0. Like, it wouldn't surprise me. All right. Sunday Night Football. Super Bowl rematch from a few years back. These two teams, whenever they play tight. You got the New England Patriots coming off their week one ground and pound win over the Miami Dolphins, heading out to the Pacific Northwest, where they quite literally, Ricky, are pumping in the crowd noise this year.
Yeah, they are.
To take on the Seattle Seahawks. This game is, like I said, Sunday night game. Seahawks, 4-point favorites. The total currently sits at 45. Doesn't seem like weather's going to be an issue. Let's start with Ricky. Who do you got?
It's the second time since 2016 Patriots have been an underdog. And second time since 2011 teams have been favored by at least 4 points over the Patriots. It's just weird. It's just weird seeing New England getting points in a situation, even on the road in Seattle. And so if you want to give me the points with a Bill Belichick coach team, I'll take them. I do think that the Patriots – I think they can control the line of scrimmage here on both sides. I think, you know, along the offensive line and along the defensive line, they're able to do that. So life's going to be a little bit more difficult for Russell Wilson this week. Obviously, he, you know, pulled another rabbit out of his hat against the Falcons, just torching them. What was he, 31 of 35 or whatever. I just think it's going to be a much tougher sledding this week if they're able to apply some of the pressure. Let that New England secondary. I still have concerns about their linebacking core. And just in general, other areas of that New England roster, but I think that secondary remains elite. And I just think that if I'm gonna get points in this situation, I will take them because I think ultimately this probably comes down to a field goal game.
I am taking the Patriots as well. Give me the points. Seahawks. You said going into this game, Mike, that the Seahawks Patriots, they always play close games. The Seahawks in general always play close games. Their 13-point win over Atlanta was their first win by more than one possession in 14 consecutive games. And 14 of their last 18 games last year were by one possession. So they're always playing tight games, and I think that's going to be the case this week as well against the Patriots. The Seahawks allowed the fourth most rushing yards to quarterbacks last year. Cam Newton, he'll get his. That Seahawks offensive line has been historically bad. Patriots defense, historically good. They're going to put some pressure on Russell Wilson. Wilson will have a great game. He'll get his. He was 31 of 35 last week. That was against Atlanta. It'll be a little bit tougher against New England. It'll be a close game, but I'll take the Patriots to cover. I don't know if they'll win. They'll cover.
I'll take the Seahawks. I didn't see a lot. This is going to be maybe a hot take. I wasn't thoroughly impressed by the Patriots last week. Like,
I wasn't either.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, they played a bad team. They beat the bad team. They did it fairly convincingly, but, you know.
The defense, though, they look convincing.
Sure. All right, fine. Okay, but, you know, Fitzpatrick sucks. Like,
yeah, but Fitzpatrick throws missiles all the time.
Sometimes
to the other team. Like, he threw three picks. I don't think that's going to happen this week with Russell Wilson. Like, Wilson is by far the best player on the field in this game. Like, I don't even think that's a debate. And I look at what the Patriots did so well last week is run the ball. And I think teams are going to have a decision to make, right? It's going to be, are you going to put just a ton of guys in the box and make Cam Newton beat you throwing the ball? Maybe Cam Newton can do it. And this probably isn't even a reflection of Newton, but, like, who exactly is he throwing to? So I think, you know, if I'm Seattle, I'm coming in saying, you're going to beat us through the air, and we'll take our chances with our secondary, which is borderline elite, against your core of receivers, which is anything but elite. If the Seahawks lose this game because they give up 180 yards on the ground, shame on them. Like, that's take that away and make the Patriots, you know, bust out a new wrinkle that, you know, I guess it's everything is pretty much a new wrinkle in week two of a new quarterback, a new offensive system. But, you know, I just think it's just a tough spot for the Patriots here. I think if the Seahawks can successfully take away the run game, which, you know, with a coaching staff like that and a defense like that, they did a pretty good job of taking away the Falcons run game last week, which granted is different. But if they do that, I just don't see how the Patriots move the ball through the air against that secondary. And then on the other side, yes, the Patriots defense is very good. But I just think Russell Wilson presents, you know, a unique amount of challenges, especially compared to Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I'll take, you know, I'll lay the points here. Don't love it because, again, these two teams play very close games. As Andre mentioned, they play very close. Seahawks play very close games in general. But actually, let me pull it up for here. This means nothing, but I just think it's a hilarious stat. Seattle 16-5-2 in night games since 2007 or whatever. So, nice. I don't know. I guess that's with crowd noise, though. Like, that's the thing. This can be really interesting. This is one of the bigger things of this week is, like, seeing what the Seahawks look like at home without the 12th man. So that's
12th man.
It could be weird. You know, I don't know.
I do wonder a bit how this New England offense is going to evolve as the season goes on. Cause it certainly feels unsustainable for a 16 game stretch. And it's also incredibly boring.
I found
the majority of that game against the Dolphins, at least for the first half, to be pretty much a snooze fest.
A high school offense.
And I think that's what they want. Like, yeah. They want to turn this into a rock fight.
Here's the thing, though. You can already tell there's going to be times where McDaniels is going to pull something, you know, out of his bag of tricks, and it's going to look awesome. Like,
you're getting a Julian Edelman pass this week.
Yeah, and they ran with – there's going to be a jump pass on 4th and 1. Like they're already setting stuff up with what they're doing just to, you know, do the end around or whatever.
Yeah. You're going to get a JJ Taylor gadget play of some sort.
It's coming at some point. Like, and that is the benefit of that offensive system as it is right now. There's a ton of motion. You know, at some point Edelman's going to come across and there's going to be reverse and they're going to throw back to Cam and N'Keal Harry's going to be running wide open down the sideline or James White on a wheel route. Like, there's going to be weird stuff that happens. I just don't know if it happens this week.
I think Cam's going to throw it a decent amount this week. I think that it felt like that was sort of establishing this, like, baseline, like, in that then now the wrinkles are going to start coming in. Week to week, you're going to – like, I don't think this team's – offensive identity is going to be the same week to week. Like, I think there are going to be times when they do air it out a little bit more. And this was sort of just, it felt like they were coming out in the first round of a heavyweight bout and just sort of establishing the jab. And now we're going to see what if they're able to get somebody up against the ropes.
And that is the benefit of Cam Newton.
I just don't see how you ever 3rd and 1, 4th and 1. How do you stop Cam?
It's true. Yeah.
That's been the story.
Well, you stop him on first down. You know, stop him on second down. You don't let it – because that's the thing. I'd have to go back and watch it, but, like, how many times were they in 3rd and 6 and what happened? You know, that'll be something to kind of pay attention to this week. So, we'll see. All right, let's do locks and upsets. Andre, who's your lock?
My lock of the week is Arizona Cardinals. Or the Arizona Cardinals, they looked impressive in their upset victory over the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
That was the game of the week. That was so cool
to
watch.
Amazing roster.
What?
You say an amazing roster, exceptional roster.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they have.
Transcendent roster, generational roster.
Not generational or transcendent, but it's an exceptional roster. And they are playing the Washington football team and are, 7-point favorites in some spots. But I'm still taking them. Washington looked good in their comeback victory, right? But offensively, they still have the fewest yards per play among any team in the National Football League going into Monday's action. And Dwayne Haskins, 55% completion percentage. I don't even know how they came back and won that game with those horrendous stats. But, yeah, Haskins, not too great. I'll also take, the fact that Kyler Murray is going up against a team that allowed the 5th most rushing yards to quarterbacks last year. So I think Murray is going to be able to use his legs, evade pressure, make plays. And if he decides to throw the ball, he has so many weapons. That roster is stacked. Give me Arizona.
I don't know if anything tickled me more over the weekend than seeing Eagles versus football team trending on Twitter.
I've already written the R word like 1,000 times. Copy, and I've almost said it. That's gonna be a tough one to get used to. It does look funny, yeah.
Seeing it versus football team, it's like an intern forgot to insert like something into a template for publishing.
Who's your lock?
My lock. I'm gonna take the Chiefs, 8.5-point favorites over the Chargers. Pretty big spread, but you know, historically, Kansas City has just been dominating divisional opponents since 2015, 27-3 straight up, and 21-8-1 against the spread against AFC West opponents. Really doing damage against the Chargers, who've just been a pretty poor bet the last couple of seasons in general anyways. And really when it comes down to the quarterback position, I think that discrepancy is worth 8.5 points.
Wait, Ricky, since possible. What year was that, you said?
2015.
Wow.
So.
Cool. I'll take the Green Bay Packers as my lock over the Detroit Lions. Packers currently sit as 6-point favorites. This game's at Lambeau, for whatever that's worth. One thing I saw, I was doing a little research on this from MLive.com, which is, what is the newspaper? I forget what the newspaper in Detroit's called. Whatever. MLive.com.
Free press.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. This is the lead to the story. Jeff Okuda was the 3rd overall pick in the draft. Desmond Trufant is a former Pro Bowler. Justin Coleman is the highest paid nickel in the game. And then it goes on to talk about how all 3 of them are injured. So that's a problem for the Lions, is when you've invested that much into your secondary and already you're having injury problem. I think it's hamstrings for all of them. I could be wrong. So they may play, they may not. If they do, they're going to be hobbled. Good luck trying to slow down Davante Adams, who is one of the 3 or 4 best wide receivers in football. Alan Lazard looks like a revelation for the Packers. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is healthy. He looks pretty good. A few big drops. He's got to get nipped that in the bud. But Aaron Rodgers looks like a different quarterback in week 1 against Minnesota. If he finally feels like he's got his feet set underneath them a little bit more often, he's taking the check downs when they're there. And they've got a very good trio of running backs, whether it's obviously Aaron Jones is very good. Jamal Williams came back and made pass catching a focus for him. And then in short yardage, you got A.J. Dillon. So a lot of issues there for Detroit to try to come up with and stop. So, it feels like a trap, but I'll lay the points and take the Packers. Ricky, who's your upset?
It's funny you mentioned that Lions secondary, that depleted secondary, because I'm going against the team that took advantage of that last week. I think the Bears get upset by the Giants. It just feels like a little bit of a letdown after that emotional win over Detroit. Detroit led 26-3 in that game before, as you mentioned, the injuries kicked in and Mitchell Trubisky sort of turned things around in the second half. Meanwhile, the Giants, man, they're a tough team to put a finger on. I just feel like if they're able to get any semblance of an offensive line, they could be pretty good offensively. They got stacked to the gills with weapons. I mean, Daniel Jones is decent, able to do some things with his legs. The Giants, 4-11 straight up, but 12-3 against the spread in the last 15 road games. So they do make life a little bit difficult. It's just a lot of points. It's 5.5 points is the spread right now. So I think the Giants not only can cover, I think they might win that one outright.
I will go with Jacksonville, 11-point underdogs against the Tennessee Titans. And mostly I'm taking the Jaguars here because of the Titans' field goal issues. They were only 8 of 18 in field goals. 44% percentage. It was by far the worst in the league. So what do? They go get Steven Gostkowski, and then we talked about this earlier. He stunk too. There's something with the Tennessee field goal kicking curse. I guess they're cursed or whatever, but that was a huge problem Monday night. It was a huge problem last season. Titans can't be missing field goals like that and expect to cover an 11-point spread, especially with Gardner Minshew. He was fairly accurate against Indianapolis in week 1, 19 of 20. He doesn't throw many picks. Last year, he only had 6 interceptions. Doesn't make many mistakes. He's not the greatest thing in the world, but I think they have enough in the tank to cover this 11-point spread. And last year, in one of the games, they held Derrick Henry to 44 yards in Jacksonville, Tennessee.
So our upsets are now covering the spread. This is a point of contention.
It's a tough week to pick upsets.
This was a point of contention a couple of years ago where I got burned because I thought I misinterpreted the rules. So whatever. I mean, you mentioned.
No, fine. No, okay. I'll take Jacksonville to win that game as well.
It should be out there outright upsets.
So we have a group message going on where we put in our locks and upsets, and I just completely misread Ricky's, and I was ready to take the Giants as well. So I'm actually glad I didn't go first and really screw
up. I'm glad you agree with me. Yeah,
yeah. I'll take.
Add to that.
No. We should be able to do more. More than one person should be able to do it, but that's neither here nor there. I'll go Thursday night.
First come, first serve, dude.
I was going to go Thursday night too, but I thought you would get mad because sometimes.
No, I know, and you are right, Andre. It is a tough week to do upsets, so I'll take Cincinnati. Like I said, not watching a second of either of the Browns or the Bengals last week, but I do know that the Bengals played. I almost called them San Diego. Played Los Angeles pretty tough. This is not as good of a defense as the Chargers have, even without Derwin James. I think some good things to build on there. Taking a rookie quarterback to a Thursday night game seems like a terrible idea, especially on the road. But it's Cleveland. This is where, you know, you talk about week two being an overreaction week. This is me overreacting to a Cleveland team that I actually was higher on than probably a lot of people were. But screw it. I got to do it. As our guy Fred Nutter points out, Mayfield has more commercials than he has touchdown passes. So that's a good point by Fred. Yeah, so.
That book club commercial with Progressive was actually pretty good. That was his best one.
I think the one with him and Saquon, the Hulu one, have you seen that one yet?
Yeah.
That one's pretty good too. So he even makes a point about the commercials. Tough look to make that point about the commercials. They come out and get curb stomped in week one. And now you got Joey Football coming in to wreck your house in week two. So I'll take the Bengals 6-point road dogs to win outright on Thursday night.
I like it.
Living dangerously. Anything else, gentlemen?
I'm excited about that Thursday game. It's going to be a good one.
I'm not, but whatever.
I think the Bengals are going to be a little bit of an issue this year for some teams. Huh? The Bengals, I think they're going to be we might see them a lot on our upsets of the week this year.
Yeah, they're talented. Burrow, like, I think Burrow has got, like, that Manning thing where he's going to look terrible at times, but also he's going to do stuff where he's just awesome, so which you kind of saw in that week one game.
They just feel like a backdoor cover waiting to happen every single week.
Yeah. All right, if you're still listening, still watching, especially if you're watching on YouTube, like I said, run over to iTunes or Spotify. Find the spread, nest in the spread on those podcast platforms. Download, rate, subscribe, review. 5 stars across the board. Give it to us. We need it. We want it. Got to have it. And then we'll continue to just pump out 5-star content. I think that's what we do. That's what we're here for. So.
The effort will be there.
Yeah. It's what it is. All right. That's Andre. That's Ricky. I'm Mike. We'll be back again next week for the spread. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you then. Bye.